You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. Another big Saturday to look forward to. 1:30 start time on William Hill Racing Radio. We've got the meeting at Newmarket, which includes the Group 1 Sun Chariot Stakes for the fillies and mares. We've also got a valuable two-year-old race on that card. Loads of good stuff at Ascot as well. Two Group 3s, a Heritage Handicap and a listed race. A two-year-old trophy at Redcar and Fontwell and Wolverhampton alongside that as well. So plenty to get stuck into. Ross Briley, Paddy Aspel and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio, so do join them for that. Right now, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined by Kate Tracy. How are you, Kate?
I'm really well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me back again.
Yeah, well, last time me and you did a podcast together, we had a little bit of success, didn't we?
So yeah, we did.
We'd do it again.
That's it. We had two, I can't remember the end, how the prices they ended up in the Super Sprint at Newbury, but called the 1-2 home at a decent enough prices. So I don't think I've got too many more of those up my sleeve for this weekend, but I'll give it my best shot.
No, we need the forecast from you for every race going forward from now on.
Deal.
We've got some great stuff to look forward to on Saturday. We will move on to that in just a moment or two, but we must start with a chat about Sunday's action at Longchamp. The feature race is, of course, the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe, and Enable Bidding to become a history maker, to become the first to win the race three times. She's 8-13 at the top of the market. Japan 6-1, 7-1 for Sotsas. Gayarth is 12-1, along with Magical. Voldgeist is 18s, 25s or bigger for the remainder. People have been discussing the race since the draw came out, saying 9 isn't too bad. It's not as difficult a task as her previous two wins in the race. Do you buy into that?
I do. I was waiting with eager anticipation for this draw to come out, and as soon as she got 9, and obviously Sotsas and Gayarth having the worst draws they could possibly imagine for this, it was even better than for her. And yeah, I think she's got a very, very workable position there from still 9. And I think obviously it's going to be an easier task than last year, because she has had a much better prep into it. She's got a better draw, in my opinion. And I've kind of, every superlative this week is under the sun has been used for her, but she really is just incredible, and she's going to do, hopefully touch wood, she's going to do absolute wonders for racing and win her third arc now. I mean, she's got a few unknown dangers in this race, admittedly, but as I said, alluded to, that she's had the best prep coming into this race. Last year she obviously just had that Kempton, what's probably proved to be the best all-weather race at Kempton last year, between her and Crystal Ocean vying for the win, but obviously she had surgery before that, which kept her off for a while. And the reason everyone says that Sea of Class got so close to her last year was just because Enable was getting tired. So the only issue I can see with this is that if the other trainers have got wise to that and have figured out this is the way to beat Enable, is to come there with the last ditch run, just as her tick is starting to run out, then that's going to be the only way I can really see her getting beat, because she's in the top hands. I mean, it's been publicised everywhere, her run, so there's not really much more I'm going to be able to add to this to talk about how fantastic Enable is, but I just think she's been better than ever this year, and I really, really do hope she goes out on a high. And the other good point about her is, thank goodness John Gosden's kept all of the three-year-old fillies at home to take it away from her, just to make her task a little bit easier again in this race. But from a betting perspective, I wouldn't obviously be going with her. 8-13. I'm just going to, for her, I'm not going to take her on for the win, because I just want to enjoy her. But the horse I have backed, who I absolutely love, I've always loved this horse, I think he's just a little hero, is Voldgeist. always gives his best, tries so, so hard. Obviously, he's been beaten, you know, by Enable in the Arc, the Breeders' Cup Turf, the King George. However, the King George is probably his best run to date. And before Royal Ascot, everyone was saying that, oh, he doesn't ask out of France. He doesn't run well out of France. Well, sure, he proved that with his career best in the King George that he was able to. He's even better this season. He's grown, he's strengthened, and he's just a solid in each way price horse as you can possibly get. So I've already had a few nibbles there, and I just think third is pretty much guaranteed for him, as it seems to be everywhere he goes. And you know, he's had a great prep for the Arc with a comfortable victory in the pre-foy as well, so really like him going into it. But I think the danger for Enable, more so than Sotsass and Gayath, is going to be Japan. And you know, he's got Arc, you know, running through his veins thanks to his granddams on both sides. You know, Urban Sea won the Arc in 1993, and Sagenza produced Sagamix, who won it in 98. You know, and Aidan O'Brien just seems to have picked this race out for a very long way, you know, gradually stepping up in trip and in class throughout the year. Comfortable win in the Grand Prix de Paris in July, you know, gave him a real good sighter at the course and the distance, and then ran a career best over 10 furlongs when winning the Jodmont International at York last time out. But I just think he's just going to be even better back up to 1 mile 4 again. So I think Japan is a bigger danger, more so than Sotsass and Gayath.
Yeah, I can certainly see where you're coming from there with your two each way bets. Japan at 6-1 looks a great each way bet to nothing, given how he's taken his form to the next level, and that win at York was pretty damn good. Voldgeist as well, 18-1. He's just admirably consistent. He's only got about two lengths to make up on Enable on his best form, so he should be wherever Enable is. He should be somewhere near or nearabouts. Hopefully they won't get anywhere nearer.
Hopefully they won't do. No, as much as I love Voldgeist, as much as I love him, I don't want him anywhere near her.
It would be just the most incredible story should she go on to win. And it looks like everything is set fair for her to run a big race, and well, just sit back and enjoy it if nothing else. She's 8-13. I actually don't think that's a bad price. I know it's odds on, but given she's in the form of her life coming into this, all systems all year have been towards getting a third Arc. It couldn't have gone smoother for her, and she's 8-13.
You're quite reasonable, really. Exactly, like a bit lenient, if anything. I think people are just probably only thinking the 8-13 just because of, you know, what stamp it's going to make in history, and that it's never been done. Trev couldn't even do it, so that's the only pointer I can think of.
I've seen worse 8-13 shots anyway. That's the point I'm making. We've got that to look forward to on Sunday. Tremendous race, a 3:05 post time at Longchamp. We've got plenty of racing to look forward to there. In fact, six other group ones on the card as well, and the Purebred Arabian group one, which I'm sure Gary Capewell is looking forward to, but we will look forward to that later on in the week. Let's get stuck into Saturday's action, because we have group one racing to look forward to at Newmarket on Saturday as well. The 3:25, the Kingdom of Bahrain Sun Chariot Stakes, a group one for the fillies and mares. It's over a mile, and Voracious currently the market leader at the time recording this at 7-2. Iridessa 4-1, 4-1 for Lorenz, who I believe is coming back to defend her crown in this race. 9-2 Hermosa, Lavender's Blue is 7-1, 14s or bigger for the remainder. And top tight at the top end of the market there, 7-2 Voracious, all the way down to Hermosa at 9-2. Those front four, there's not much in it in the betting.
No, exactly. The betting is speaking a lot of sense in this race, because it's wide open, really, and really, really exciting. I'm really looking forward to this Sun Chariot. But the only horse I'm a bit dubious of, ready to eat my words, but a bit dubious of in the betting, is the horse at the head of a market, is Voracious. You know, I definitely wouldn't be backing her at that price. I don't think the Falmouth was that great a race, really. Obviously, she won that, you know, beating I Can Fly into third, but geez, you know, everyone's beaten I Can Fly. And I just thought that win was just mainly because of a really good ride by Oisin Murphy. So probably deploy similar tactics again, but I don't know. I don't think she's quite of a quality of a few of these. I mean, Lauren's has every right to be bang up there. You know, she's an absolute superstar, a multiple Group 1 winner. But just the last time out in the Matron, I wasn't... hopefully it was just a blip on her copybook, because I was a bit sort of taken aback, because obviously she has such a hard front running style, and you just worry, especially with fillies, that eventually they might spit the dummy out and just say, I can't keep doing this, and especially at Group 1 level, that I can't keep running at this. So I hope that it was just an off day when she was beaten by Iridesa, but I can't help but have just a little niggling thing at the back of my mind that thinks maybe she's not able to maintain this the whole way. But you know, she has managed to get her head in front this season in the pre-Rothschild, where she was only beaten a whisker drop back to seven at York, and the reason she ran back over seven was to see if she still had the speed for the foray, because that's what they were originally going to go for. However, considering her form at Newmarket, it makes much more sense that Connections have brought her back here to try and defend her crown from last year. So I think she's going to again run a very similar race. You know, she's so hardy, so can easily see her winning this, but I am just a bit doubtful on that last run. So for that reason, I'm going away from the first four in the market, and I'm going for a relatively unexposed horse there, and Lavender's Blue, who I really, really do like. She's probably one of the least exposed horses amongst these runners. She ran just four times, landing a gamble on debut over the course and distance in April, and finished runner-up in a listed contest when she was up to a mile and a quarter at Newbury on her next start. And you know, the form of that worked out really strongly with the subsequent Ribblesdale Irish Oaks and pre-Vermeil winner Starcatcher, and neck behind her in third place. You know, so naturally Connections thought, right, actually we're going to give a go at the Epsom Oaks. You know, she's bred to stay that far, she's by Sea of the Stars, but she had far too much made of her. It was probably came a bit too soon as well, and also after that race she was found to be suffering from thumps, which is an irregular spasming of the diaphragm, I've looked it up. Wow. Yeah, so she had plenty of excuses there, but coped really well when she was dropped back to a mile in the Atlanta Stakes at Sandown last time, and quickened amazingly. She travelled so strongly and didn't get the cleanest of passage is when she was coming up the hill, and still managed to win. So I think on that basis, I think because we're going to have a fair bit of pace up front, you know, guaranteed Lawrence is going to deploy similar tactics, and I just think Lavender's Blue has got enough speed to travel really strongly behind the front runners. I know it's not generally considered sort of a tactic to come off the pace at Newmarket, but I could completely see Lavender's Blue able to hold up behind and come and power through at the end, and is just still so unexposed and could be anything.
Yeah, still looks an exciting prospect to Lavender's Blue, particularly after getting back on track last time out at Sandown. The only slight thing for me, well, I suppose they maybe just wait for this target, but she didn't run for a while after Epsom, then she's come back on the 31st of August, then we haven't seen her again till now. Does that suggest that they have a hard time getting her right, do you think, or do you think
it could easily be, and I do see that, because obviously she had the excuse after Epsom with the thumps, but yeah, the time off since her last run, unless they did literally just have this as their sole focus from then on and thought, you know what, have a stab at this kind of company now and that should be our main target. But you know, I don't quite know enough about her yet to see if she is a relatively fragile filly or quite sort of what the issue was there, but it would put a little doubter in your mind, definitely.
I've managed to talk myself in and then back out of siding with Bilsden Brook in this race. She's 22-1 at the moment. She obviously sprung a surprise in the Guineas last year. Since then, she's had little bits of form here and there. I mean, the win at Goodwood last time was pretty nice, but that was in Group 3 company. Obviously, stepping back up to Group 1 company today, I kind of thought, well, she's starting to show that old zest again. But then I think, well, she was a surprise winner of the Guineas. Did it just fall right for her? And is she up to Group 1 level? So I've managed to think, oh yeah, 22-1 is too big. And then thought, no, 22-1 is not too big.
No, it's a lovely each way price. But it's just the nature of how competitive it is this year that I think that is the reason she is the price she is. But, you know, like you say, you can be forgiving of a few of those quieter runs since, and I don't necessarily think it was that much of a fluke when you watch it back. So I talk you back into it. Add an each way price.
Thank you. Lavender's Blue, the selection for yourself, yeah?
Yes.
Good. That's a nice couple of each way angles there in the 325 at Newmarket, and we're just going to have a quick look at the 235 at Ascot as well. So we're going through these in no particular order. Mile and a half for this. This is the Cumberland Lodge Stakes, a Group 3, and 9-4 favourite is Mirando, 7-2 for Fair Lark, Sexton 13-2, 13-2 Wells Fargo, 15-2 for Rakib Al Hawa, 8-1 for Vivid Diamond, and Surrey Thunder is 11-1. Sadly, a field of seven, which makes the each way angle slightly more difficult. What do you make of it? Who do you like?
Yeah, I think the ground is just going to play a massive factor. I mean, we're watching Ascot there today, and already it looks soft enough, and you know they're having to take it a bit steady. And for that reason, Miranda is completely the right favourite. I mean, you know, you see 1 mile 4 slogfest in a Cumberland Lodge, and you just naturally have to go for a mud merchant. And Miranda is definitely a proven mud merchant. I mean, he's a 6-year-old now, so he's definitely the veteran of this contest. But you know, as long as there's a bit of juice in the ground, then absolutely loves his job. So, you know, he had an absolute demolition job of Kew Gardens at Chester earlier this season. So he definitely, despite being 6 years old, definitely retains all of that old ability, and bounced back to form last time out when second in the Jeffrey Freer. So, you know, he was giving way to the 3-year-olds then. Obviously, he'll have to do it again now, but I don't think it should be anywhere near as hard a task, as we say, with less runners this time around. And I don't think any of them should pose too much of a problem. You know, he's... I just think that the weather is definitely in his favour. But stepping away from Sextant, got a massive chance, won at Chester on the 14th of September, beating Manuela de Vega into second. Has another horse with an amazing Ascot record, you know, winning 2 of the 3 starts and second on the other. And we say it time after time, it's such an obvious point now to make that Ascot form does hold up, and they regularly come back and run well again there. So yeah, I just won over this distance last time out over 1 mile 4, carrying a stone more than the second horse, and was top of the handicap that day, able to defy the weights, you know, as carrying a fair bit of weight this time. So but has proven that it can carry against some of these younger rivals here today. And but yeah, it's too high in the handicap now, so has to be entered up into group company. But and the outside of a lot wouldn't be a bad each way angle. Surrey Thunder, is a 3-year-old, run 6 times this season, has lined up only once in Britain when finished 5th at Haydock in August, but his form in France stacks up really well, and finished in front of Softlight, who was actually supplemented for the Arc the other day, is the outsider admittedly, but Softlight was 5th that day, and Surrey Thunder 3rd, and managed to get his head in front last time out in a listed race at Clairefontaine. So yeah, they've come out and said connections that they planned for this race the whole way along, so I wouldn't be surprised if he ran nicely into a place at 11-1. I'd have that as an each way price, definitely.
Yeah, it's quite an open heat really, isn't it? You could state a case for a lot of them. I mean, even Wells Fargo, who's starting to drift out in the betting now at 13-2, I've always thought he'd be better seen on a softer surface, which we did see to that effect earlier on in his career. Since then, he's been running on quicker ground. Things haven't quite gotten right for him. I think they were aiming to have a tilt at the ledger with him a few years ago, if memory serves me correctly, and things just haven't gone right for one reason or another. But with conditions, I think that'll suit on Saturday. I think we might see a bit better for him. He needs to bounce back, of course. You mentioned the claims of Sexton. You can see that Failak's a progressive individual. Miranda, you mentioned as well, and the outsiders. It's only 7 runners, but it's a good race.
Yeah, really good race, exactly. Really competitive, considering, like say, the small enough field. So, yeah, you wouldn't be surprised if it went to any one of these.
Main selection for yourself, though, is Miranda?
Yes, it would be Miranda, yeah, as a main selection.
How about a Miranda Surrey Thunder forecast?
Yeah, go on then. Yeah. Twist my arm.
Good stuff. Out of all of that, what's your strongest opinion? What do you like
strongest
most?
Opinion is Volgeist each way. I would definitely, and I'm not just talking with my heart there, because I just think this horse is a hero, but I just think he's just so consistent, and ground's my only slight concern with him, but everything else is well in the favour. And so unable to win, Volgeist 3rd. Okay. that's my summary for our conversation so far.
Good stuff, been a pleasure as always, Kate. Thank you
so much for having me.
Good luck, enjoy this weekend. That's the thoughts of Kate Tracy then on this weekend's action. We've got plenty to look forward to on Saturday, and it is Arc Day on Sunday. We're live from 1:30 p.m. for Saturday's edition of the show. Ross Briley, Paddy Aspel and Craig Forsyth, the team in the studio. Newmarket, Ascot, Redcar and Fontwell in the afternoon, Wolverhampton throughout the evening as well, and then we get ready for Arc Day at Longchamp on Sunday. Do join the guys for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy this weekend's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.